Broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the PMQ live update for Friday, May 22nd. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, I'm assuming. I don't know where you live. I don't know what kind of weather you have, but let's just think positively. That's what this is about. I'm here today with one of the most positive guys on my US Pizza team here, Mr. Sean Dempsey of Dempsey's Brew Pub and Danger Von Dempsey's. Say hello to everybody, Sean.
Hey, greetings, y'all. It's good to be here.
I like that. It's an emblem of that, though. Yeah, well, you know what? I can get rid of that if they don't want to, or you could just kind of move if you want.
I could just do this too. That would
solve that might be easier. There you go. I'm just trying to help you out, my friend. Sorry if there's going to be some technical difficulties. I was waiting for Blake at PMQ to host us through our internet there, but he did not show up today. So there goes your Christmas card and cookies this year, Blake. You screwed me. So, no, this is going to be a great conversation. I was talking with Sean the other day and just kind of found out I'm not up to date on all 50 states' regulations, but I found out that South Dakota did not have a close mandate. I hadn't heard that. And I guess, you know, after talking with you, that there were at least four other states, and we found out it was North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Arkansas. And you do believe that North Dakota eventually shut down. So there's no closing in South Dakota. Kind of how did that affect you there? I mean, was that something that you were surprised by?
We were pretty surprised by it. We expected the governor to order us to close like everybody else. And we had been watching this for a while. I mean, we watched the news every single day, and the governor gave an address every single day when this started about if today was going to be the day she shut us down or if we were going to be open for another day and what was happening. And eventually she just left it up to the municipalities. So, she left it up to all just local leaders and each town to decide if they're going to force non-essentials to close or to not force non-essentials to close. And even though we did eventually close because of the city mandate, and honestly we would have anyway, it was weird because there were parts of the state that never shut down. They just continued on business as normal.
Okay, so do you think were you able to see anything as far as those other businesses that just went on as business as normal? Was there actually a kind of a concern from the customer base?
Oh,
or do you think they'd have been fine just coming up every single day like nothing changed?
It was a little bit of a mixed bag because for our region, so South South Dakota is a decent sized state, and it's sparsely populated. I mean, there's only about 700,000 to 800,000 people in the entire state, so it was a little tough to make the call to shut everything down. But people here, it was a good 50-50. I mean, it's people who were like, virus this, the flu will kill more people than COVID, and then there was a chunk of other people, myself included, that said we should probably take this thing serious. I mean, look at what's going all around the world. We had a lot of customers who were pretty frustrated that we were deciding to close. And then there was a chunk of customers who were very happy to see that. And we saw, surrounding area, I saw a lot of places that were shut down, but the few that stayed open, I mean, there were still bars outside of the city limits that were open, and they were fairly busy, which is a little disturbing when you think about it, when what else is going on in the world. But it's, people are people. They'll do what they want.
Right. Well, I did want to say hello to Dungeon Chat Experts. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Anybody who has questions for Sean and his unique position and what he's getting ready to do, ask it in the Facebook Live comments, and we'll make sure that he answers them. Now, you kind of answered my next two questions, really, was that did you govern yourself? Or I know. Well, you take away some of my thunder, and let's calm down a little bit. But did you guys govern yourselves, or was there any kind of direction given from your local, your state, or federal governments? But I mean, you kind of answered that you did do some closing down. What was your decision in, was there any kind of guidance from the local municipalities and state? Or did you just take it all on your own shoulders to do what was right or what you thought was right?
Right. We had we've been listening to also, they had a daily COVID meeting in town. They had a city council meeting every Monday. So we were open for St. Patrick's Day. It was a very, very slow St. Patrick's Day, but I mean, it used to be our busiest day, and this year it was at least decent, but that was really when the scare was going on around us, and we assumed we were being shut down every day. So we waited a full week just to see if there were a bunch of cases, if they were doing a bunch of testing. And part of the issue, I think, was that we couldn't get tests. I mean, they were a certain criteria to hit in South Dakota just wasn't high on the list to get tested. So we never really, it was one of those arguments. You couldn't really test people, so you never really had a lot of cases. So we ended up getting some mandate from the city when they had their last meeting, and they said they were going to follow the CDC guidelines and recommend social distancing, recommend spatial tables. And then eventually went to Just a straight up, all restaurants and bars and non-essential businesses have to close. But that was a city guideline, not a state. And so, and we have our other store in Aberdeen, same exact thing. It took another probably week beforehand, but then they mandated the same thing. We shut down about 3 or 4 days beforehand, just to get on top of that. With, I've never been forced to shut down before for something like that. So it was a lot of trying to get our ducks in a row and what we're going to do with our staff, how we're going to change our food trucks, what we're doing for marketing, where we're going to stay open. I mean, it was a lot of just, it was a very busy couple of days, you know. And then going forward, we had kind of started doing some groundwork for it. But man, we were nice that being in the middle of the country, we had seen a lot of this already kind of happening. So at least we had some kind of plan in place.
Okay, well, what were, if any, changes did you actually make? I mean, aside from shutting down, when you decided it was safe to kind of reopen for your customers and your staff, what were some of the changes that you made to your business model after the situation hit?
Okay, so right when it hit, I mean, like day one, it was everyone was immediately gloved up. Everyone had that. We did the 6 feet spatial distance. That was after we'd actually reopened to the general public. It was the day we were shut down and then forced to convert to a curbside carryout model. We ended up forcing everyone to wear gloves up front. I want people to see that. Even our employees handling the food was handling it like that. We started doing a lot of curbside. We saw a huge push for online orders. I mean, our phones are ringing off the hook. I was kind of, next time we have a pandemic, I'll get a couple more phone lines. I just hope that takes a while. and then, I mean, like I was listening to the US Pizza team chatter. I was looking for just what anybody and everybody was doing to kind of pivot. Cause I mean, like I was listening to every podcast I could get my hand on, and it was a lot of pivoting. It was a lot of trying new things. It was do something new or die. I mean, I saw Danicello doing groceries through his shop, and I thought that was brilliant. I mean, I saw the DIY pizza kits. I saw Take and Bakes doing these pretty much whatever you can sell, you know, just try to move that product and try to at least have a reason to stay open and be open. And that was a saving grace for us. I mean, that was able to let us retain some of our staff and then, you know, keep the lights on for that month and a half.
Well, and Dungeon Chat Experts have another good question. This is actually something I was getting ready to get to, but I figured it fits perfectly right here. You know, without order, and I assume you meant like kind of any governmental regulations, without order, did you see your business dip? Did it hold or did it go up? My question was going to be, what was the customer reaction? Did you lose traffic or was it business as usual?
I mean, what the nice thing about most places shut down, we were shut down a little earlier. So, I mean, there were still some places you could go and eat. And then that after 3 days, that went away. It dipped pretty bad. I mean, it was I would stick with like what the NRA would say, with a good 60-70% just drop in Watertown. But we're 180 seat full service restaurant, so there was a lot of empty seats that we just as much as we have pizzas and the food that we have to go, it's tough. It's tough for that to be converted to a curbside carryout only model. So we lean pretty heavy on pizzas. We lean pretty heavy on just kind of doing a limited menu and kind of reducing a lot of our stock and just kind of doing those more high profit margin items. And that really, you know, kept our food costs down. I mean, we took steaks off the menu. We took burgers off the menu because, well, honestly, it was hard getting them. But which I know was another one of your questions. But yeah, we saw a dip definitely in Watertown. And then when we reopened to the general public at half capacity, then we actually saw a pretty really decent rise. Aberdeen was different. Aberdeen is just a pizzeria with a brew house. So that one we actually saw, I wouldn't say an increase, but we definitely saw less labor, not having front of house waitresses, not having a lot of kitchen help. But then it was mostly already a very curbside friendly and Togo friendly model. So, I mean, we actually saw a pretty decent increase in business based on that. So it kind of covered it really. So, I mean, like Aberdeen was almost business is normal, minus you talk to pizza boxes instead of people. But we made some friends.
Talk to people. I get it. Well, I mean, I just wanted to ask a little bit more about one of my questions was going to be, did you close or stay open with restrictions? You obviously you closed for a little bit, but when you stayed open, what kind of restrictions was it? I mean, no dine-in? Did you kind of give yourself a timeline before you allowed dine-in?
We actually never fully closed. We, like, the day they shut us, they said you're closed, like you can't be open past 11:59. You can only do takeout carryout. We immediately went to that takeout carryout model.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you would close down that for a little bit, but you just closed the dine in, you know, did the responsible. Right. Okay.
So it was a lot of that. And then I'm sorry, what was the question?
Well, it was just, I mean, you know, what if, you know, coming back, what kind of changes had you made with the restrictions, or what restrictions did you impose upon yourself, such as carry out and delivery? How hard was it for you to pivot? Because you do have a lot of dine-in space in both of those locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say it was tough. Watertown was tough. But we luckily, as a brewery, we actually have an October can steamer. So it was a lot of specials. It was, there was probably 6 to 8 of us that were constantly canning beer and root beer and cream soda. I mean, because we brew our own product there. We were able to really just successfully really start pushing that. I mean, that was a big concern. So it was tough to pivot, but it was one of those, just, you know, we just grabbed it whatever we could and did what we could. Imposing things we did, we just wanted to make sure that we were being safe and that we were showing people we were being safe. A lot of it was just making sure that the customer was like, we still let people come in and grab their food. You know, curbside, of course, blew up because of it. But for the most part, I mean, people were pretty relaxed and pretty fine. I mean, Watertown, not a lot of masks. Aberdeen, ton of masks.
Well, those are about an hour and a half apart from each other. So it just goes to show just the different thought processes and different, just even local regions.
Yeah, it's crazy because the other place that's that got hit was Sioux Falls, and they had a big meat. Aberdeen is a meat facility. Sioux Falls had a big meat facility down there, and they're both. I mean, Smithfield was huge. That was, I mean, I think 800-900 cases just from that. And that's an hour and a half south of us. So, I mean, we're right in the middle of this and we're seeing just a minimal amount of cases. So it's one of those, like, coming soon, maybe not. I mean, I don't think it's not going to come, but I mean, I definitely think it's one of those on its way.
Well, being a brew house, actually in both of your locations right there, I assume you do. And well, I know you do. We've had conversations before, but a lot of pairings with your menu items. Have you had to kind of slash some of that down? And I know we're going to talk about, you know, maybe, interruptions in product availability, but have you had to adjust your menu at all?
Yes, we changed to a completely, we called it a pandemic fun time menu. And it was from, it wasn't very fun. I lied a little on the top of it, but we changed those disposable menus. And that was one thing where we pretty much just went through and we ticked off those high, you know, the high profit things that we actually knew we could get. Like, I mean, pizzas, of course, were fine. And Watertown, that's kind of one of our bigger things. In Aberdeen, it's the only thing. So, I mean, those were fine. Watertown, it was like your steaks, your burgers, a lot of your bigger high profile items you had to take off because just people weren't, I mean, like we went from doing these crazy busy nights to being a decent night, but you know, without having 168 seats full, it's really hard to keep a full menu and keep things fresh. And that was one thing we wanted to make sure our quality was there. So we slashed our menu, I guess, in Watertown about 70% for sure, we're still running a very reduced menu until this kind of, you know, our things calm down a bit and we can get back to business as normal. Okay. I think that's one thing that's helped significantly.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those, you know, cost effective things to kind of do, just kind of trim the fat, so to speak. Now, not on the opposite side of that coin of trimming the fat, what about your employees? Because they are essential to you. And obviously, you're not trying to get rid of employees, no fault of their own. I know. I that's what I'm saying. It's the opposite side of that. You don't want to get rid of them through no fault of their own. Sorry about that. The US Pizza team just will not be quiet. But, you know, so, I mean, how many people did you have to let go? Was there a guarantee of their job when they come back? How many people have decided they don't want to come back to a restaurant service business?
It was tough. I mean, we ended up that first week when we shut down, we had a meeting on Sunday in Aberdeen and we ended up laying off a good, probably, you know, 60-70% of the staff. And that's a bunch of your front of house workers, but you don't have a dining room. What do you do? So we did that one day and that was, I would guess anywhere from 20 to 25 people. And then Watertown was the same kind of conversation we had on Monday where it was, you know, another, we have 15 to 18 servers just there and some kitchen staff, some dishwashers, some prep help. I mean, there was probably another 40 people up there that we laid off. So it was tough conversations of being transparent and saying, this is where we're at. This is what we're doing. You know, of course we're going to bring you all back once we can, just, we want to make sure you have a place to come back to, because I mean, when this hit, I mean, we've been following it every day. We didn't know if it was going to be, you know, like a 1 month thing, 3 month thing. And it's terrifying because at that point, we didn't know if there's going to be government assistance or if we're just going to live off what we could get. And if we couldn't pay our bills, well, that's just them's to breaks. We were just very transparent. We made sure that everyone was aware of the situation. They were, for the most part, pretty aware. I've had a few people who haven't really wanted to come back because of not so much for COVID fears, but more for benefits of being non-employed currently. So
I knew you were going to say that.
It's tough.
Okay. Well, that was going to be the other thing, though, is that, you know, being in a state that didn't close down, was there any difficulty without getting too into the details of this conversation, because it's a whole different, you know, beast, but, you know, getting PPP or SBA loans because your state didn't have a mandated close down, was it harder for you to get that, or was it something you were able to get onto?
In Watertown, we were able to get the PPP loan, which was a lifesaver. That was something that significantly helped us out. Aberdeen, we're still in the works on it. I mean, we've got till June. We're trying to get some stuff figured out on that one, but that's been taking a little bit longer. So we were able to get funded in that first round, which helped out a lot. But it was tough to get people to come back. I mean, like, not some people, just some people.
Well, that's why I did want to ask you that. I don't mind getting in a little bit on this, because I'm seeing it more and more. And it was, you know, a lot of our US Speech Team guys were talking about it early on, that they were predicting this. It's that people are going to be making more on unemployment than they ever were, and it's going to be hard to get them back. And now there are those guarantees where if you open back up and you offer them their job and they decide not to come, that's like willful resignation, and they're no longer, eligible for it. So, I mean, is this going to be something that do you think it's going to be more difficult to get more of your employees back? Or, I mean, it's going to be, it seems like it's spreading like a wave across the country. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
You feel like a taskmaster. Like, I'm sitting here with a whip and I'm saying, you come back to work. And if you don't, I'm going to pull your unemployment and you're going to live an unhappy life or go drink bad gin underneath a bridge somewhere forever. It's just not a good position to be in, because I'm not unhappy that my staff is being taken care of. If they're furloughed and they're on unemployment, you know, that's more than generous for people on unemployment. But I'm mad that, I shouldn't say mad. I really dislike being put in that position, because then when you say, I need you back, and someone says, you know, I'm making more money on unemployment than I ever could being here, then it's, well, I can change that. But I mean, these people are friends, you know, I'm not a taskmaster. I'm not going to sit there and be like, come back to work, you're done. But at some point we have to get back to work.
Well, and it is hard, because I mean, they're not wrong. If you're getting paid better for doing this, it's not that they don't want to work, it's just the numbers tilt in this side of the scale.
A week is times four. I mean, I thought it was a one time thing. When I thought it was every week, I was like, shoot, maybe I should have closed and maybe I should have laid myself off, you know?
Well, one thing I want to let anybody in that situation watching, it's not going to last forever.
No, it's one of those where, like, when they send a government stimulus check out, it was meant to, I fully adhere to, like, it was meant for your bills. It's meant to help you. It's not to go buy a new brand screen, a big screen TV. And it's just, you know, at some point it's going to run out, and then what?
Well, I was hearing other people saying that they were able to, you know, pay their car off a little bit earlier. And that's good. If you can, I mean, but if you can get, like, that's a something that's a necessity right there. You know, if you can get that done and that's another bill you don't have to worry about when this all ends, that's great. But it's not going to last forever. We understand. But you know, we need you back. So just don't get caught. Make sure that you're getting the taxes taken out of that, or you're tracking it, because they will come back for you. It's not tax-free. That's the one thing that I've been seeing, too, is a lot of people just assumed it was free money. Not so much. So
not quite.
All right. Well, I just let's just jump ahead here, because these are hot. Those are hot-button topics that we could go all day on. But
for sure.
So how did you get your customers back, or let them know that you were still open? I mean, because, you know, you went back down to carry out and all that stuff. What kind of message did you put out as soon as it hit? Because I'm not sure if some of your customers just assumed you'd stay open since the state didn't close, or what was the messaging that you put out there?
Say, once we turned into curbside takeout, it was even with our boosted Facebook posts, and even with trying to get people to know that we were open, there's always a chunk of people who came in after the fact and they're like, oh, we didn't know you were open. And we're like, well, we were, so that's fine. No worries. So I went to, there's a printer across the street. So we had a big banner print up that said takeout delivery available, and we slapped it on the side of the building. We were doing boosted Facebook posts. I was listening to, same thing with going back and forth from Aberdeen for having time and listening to podcasts. And it was that the one from Nick Bogats, who had said in his business equation podcast about every post you make, every video you make is just you pretty much waving your hands and saying, we're open, we're still here. So it was a lot of, just trying to come up with new content, and just trying to make people aware that, yeah, we're absolutely still open, and you know, making sure that people are aware that you know, you're not just doing the same thing as normal. You're coming up with new ideas, and you're being safe about it. I mean, that was the big thing for the first month, was, you know, everyone's pictured with gloves on. Everyone's got, you can see the sanitizer stations in the back. We're being very meticulous and describing about how we do our processes. And I think that was, you know, like the main thing. We also burned up a bunch of radio ads for, we had bank that were just like, yep, still open, pop in, reduced hours, reduced menu, find us online, check our website, that kind of thing. So.
No, that's good. I mean, it's just, again, about just being visible and making your presence known out there.
There was no wacky waving inflatable flailing.
The flailing inflatable car. Yeah.
That was an idea. I'm glad we didn't do that, though.
Okay. All right. That might just reek of desperation. But right. It's a desperate time for everybody. So you'd be forgiven if you did that. So on to just something real quick. I'm going to interject here with some happiness. Happy anniversary. Thanks. 1 year today, in fact, right?
Yep. Today's the 1 year anniversary.
All right. And I thought when you were saying that with your wife and I'm, or you, if you had got married, I'm like, I didn't even realize you got married. And why are you doing it on that day? But no, this is for your second location, Danger Von Dempsey's.
Yep. Danger Von Dempsey's in Aberdeen, our 1 year anniversary.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask you real quick on that because it's been like the last quarter of a year, last 3 months. Now, this is a very tentative time, that first year for any new business. You had a little bit of a head start than some of the other people I've actually spoken with as well. But I mean, when you saw that coming, what kind of, you know, night sweats did you get into at that point about saying, well, what are we going to do? Or were you kind of pretty well established at that point and with a lot of local customer base?
We've had a great customer base in Aberdeen. I mean, that was of all the towns we could have picked, that was definitely the right choice. And the community has been supporting this the entire way. I can't say enough good things about Aberdeen. But when this broke, yeah, that was absolutely a big concern because we are a new business. And at that point, we've been open for 8.5 months, 9 months. And it's one of those where we're getting ready to ramp up for our busy season. We just signed some stuff with NSU for some advertising. And then immediately everything just kind of like COVID happens. Everything immediately stops. And you're like, well, that was a bad idea. But we luckily, as I said, the community's been supporting us really, really well. I was happy to see that, you know, that things didn't get as bad as I thought. I kind of expected to see a huge just kind of slowdown. And since that place is only an 82-seat model, and it's all pizzas, it's an open kitchen concept. And we've seen, I mean, just a ton more Togo orders, not that many dine-ins, but the Togo orders pick up. So, I mean, we definitely saw a reduction, but it wasn't catastrophic like I'd expected. So, I mean, that was a really good saving grace for us up there.
If you had one good suggestion you can give to anybody who just kind of has a burgeoning operation in the last 4 to 5, 6 months even, what's the one thing that best piece of advice you could give them?
Oof. The last 6 months? I was going to end that with saying I'm really glad we opened last year, not this year, because, oh, my God, if we opened this year, it'd be difficult.
So what I'm hearing is buy a DeLorean because there's nothing.
You can... Go back in time. No, I would say just keep at it. I'd be the same thing, making sure you're visible, putting signs outside, making sure people are aware you're there. I mean, it is the restaurant industry is very much people need to eat, and it's still very viable to go out and do things as long as you have the ability for dine-in. And if you don't, you know, focus on your carry out. But it's being visible. It's making sure that people know you existed. It's amazing. That we had in Watertown where, I mean, being there for 21 years and we still get calls like people have never heard of us. And we're like, there's only 24,000 people in this town. Like, how do you not know we exist? So it's just this like plugging away. You've got to be top of mind. And that's, you know, look for your social media, look for a few boosted ads and just make sure people know you're there.
Well, I did want to show that I like that expression. Oof. And you did actually send me answers to your questions. I don't know if you can see it, but...
That was the correct.
And he writes like that too, guys. But I did want to kind of pull out this story just real quick. You remembered in that first year that the GD smoke alarm going off 3 times during dinner service. You didn't think the Marcel oven needed a hood. Lesson learned. Come on, man. Really?
this is our second Marcel oven we've gotten. And so we put it in there. And the one in Watertown, it smoked a little bit. It wasn't bad. So we never had a hood on that one. So the open kitchen concept, it's got a vent over the top, like a vent that comes with the oven. So we installed that. We saved some scratch by not putting in a hood. Didn't think we needed it. Grand opening night, white chef coat, everything's packed. We're doing great. Smoke alarm goes off, right? And at that point, I'm almost in tears because I'm just like, this is the worst thing that could happen. And it wasn't. The smoke alarm going off the second time was the worst thing that could happen. You know, like, and I'm sitting there in the middle thing with a ladder trying to knock the batteries out, but it's hardwired in, so it's not going anywhere. And I'm just waving my hands like, no, 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 it's fine. Nothing's on fire. You can see the kitchen. So, lesson
all right.
The third location will definitely have a hood over that oven.
All right. Well, I did want to ask you, we got a couple more points just to hit on here real quick. Being brew house, and both of your locations are brew house, and you guys brew your own stuff, or you locally source?
So in both, Watertown, right? In Watertown, we brew right now. So we got a 10-barrel system up there. In Aberdeen, we don't currently have a brew system up there. That was part of the part one, or that's part two expansion. So we're hoping this year to get a small little like 2-barrel pilot system up there that we can brew Aberdeen specific beer. So then we'll always kind of have Watertown as our main hub for brewing activities and import to different places. And then Aberdeen and then any other new location will have that small little system that's just going to be brewing those crazy one-offs that lets you get a little bit more, you know, crazy if you want to make a toasted peanut butter and jelly sour or, you know, some kind of smoked stout or something. Yeah, no, that first one sounds great.
Smoked peanut butter and jelly stout. There you go. I'll give you that one for free. But the main question were you guys allowed alcohol delivery sales in South Dakota before this happened? Are you allowed them now? Is it something you had to go and fight for?
No, I had kind of thought about it. Like once I saw I saw California was allowing it, and I'd seen Minnesota was just opening to it. And so with we have a can teamer up there, and so we kind of thought, well, maybe we'll do something like that. By the time we got to getting that research and getting some ideas put forward, we were hearing rumors that we were going to be reopening. And so at that point, we were like, all right, well, we need to change trains and get to the reopening process again. One thing we did see is a lot of more demand for flavor. So people wouldn't necessarily want like a Bloody Mary to go, but they would want to buy Bloody Mary mix, or people wouldn't necessarily want to buy like a. We had a friend down in Yankton, Ben's Brewing, and they did a pineapple syrup they were doing for margaritas, and it was a non-alcoholic version, but then he was selling the ever-living hell out of those things. So a lot more demand for those kind of things. So,
all right. So, yeah, you kind of focused on more at that point, just the reopening and making your menu, you know, solid again. And I like how you saw that there was that pivot towards mixes and stuff like that. But so, I mean, just not to be – you still can't do delivery alcohol deliveries. Okay.
No, that's still illegal in the state. You can't bring. I can't bring 4 packs or kegs to your house.
Is there anybody? Was there anybody in South Dakota that you knew? Was there anybody up there though that did try to fight for that? You know, locally.
No. I didn't see anybody in Aberdeen or Watertown trying to do that.
Wow. Okay.
So.
That's very interesting. I would have thought the opposite, but that, you know, hey, that's, I don't live in that town, so that's. I hope a lot of people are getting a lot of kind of differing perspective on this whole thing right now, and maybe some other things that you can do.
In Mississippi, can you go to a gas station and buy beer?
Yes.
Okay. We have it in Aberdeen, you can, but Watertown, you can't.
Yeah, you can do that, and you can buy beer at Kroger, but you can't buy it at a liquor store, and vice versa. So they're skirting the laws. Yeah, not skirting laws, but it's weird. You can't buy like cold soda at a guest or at a liquor store, and I think in Bloomington, Indiana, you couldn't buy like cold liquor or cold wine. Basically they try to separate the markets, so you can't buy everything you need at one place. But that aside, because I'm not an expert on the sales of that, but on the buying of it, sure, not the sales. Was there any interruptions in product availability for you? I know, because as you said, you Smithfield, and I mean, it's a shame, because I mean, I know they had a good product and they serviced a lot of our operators, but was there any other interruptions in product availability? Is it harder to get certain items in your area? Oof.
That was the other oof on that one. Right. We're still going through shortages. It's been, being in the Heartland, I didn't think it was going to be such a big deal, but we've been having issues with just getting products. I mean, like right now, I was happy this morning because we didn't get our beef in today, but we didn't get our normal case of beef, but we were able to get some beef, and same with sirloins. But I haven't been able to get any raw primal of any ribeyes or any sirloins for any beef bottom round to even grind if I wanted to. So it's been kind of just taking them off the menu or trying to locally source, but it's been a nightmare. I mean, the biggest frustrating thing I've seen, and that would have been my advice for somebody who's in this, 5 or 6 months into it, like get a stockpile of pizza boxes. We have had just a time trying to get pizza boxes. And so we've had to constantly, like, I've got the big store in Watertown. So we've been buying 10, 20 cases at, you know, every week and just putting them in the back. So we always have that when my food provider doesn't ship me pizza boxes or runs out, I at least can't run out. I mean, that was the big fear once this started, is you can't get Togo boxes, you can't get pizza boxes. Well, how are we supposed to operate without those items? So
yeah, I'm saying I hadn't heard that one, but I mean, it makes sense, you know, because everybody's shifting to carry out and take out and delivery. So there's their run on that. So,
yeah.
So have you been able to kind of, obviously you can't go back in time and get yourself a stockpile. Have you been able to kind of work around that?
We've never run out. We've gotten really close, but I was in a funny situation, or I should say we were in a funny situation when this all happened. My father was in Spain. So he had gone to St. Patrick's Day in Ireland, and then he got to Ireland and realized like all the pubs are closed. So then he went to Spain, and then he was in Spain for a day, and then Spain shut down. So then he was in Iceland for a week trying to get back. And so he actually spent St. Patrick's Day in Iceland on the only Irish pub that was actually playing live music, honestly, probably in all of Europe. And so when he came back, he was like, this is coming. You need to stock up on flowers and cheese and boxes, because like they ran out of everything. So we stocked up on a couple of those items. And so when we started getting those shortages, it was just a lot of me going back and forth from Aberdeen to Watertown, bringing a case of pizza boxes. Like, we have them. We're really low. Oh, my God, we're really low. So we were the weather storm.
Well, no, and it's nice that you had a guy with his ground on the air over there, boots on the ground, I should say. Oh, yeah. So, you know. Your dad's a super trooper right there. I did want to thank everybody for tuning in right now. We've been having a lot of good interaction, a lot of people. You're holding everybody's interest, Sean. You're a very genuinely nice guy, and you got some good information.
It's there.
I wouldn't know. But so, Aliza, Dungeon Chat Experts, I just see Jason Williams jump in. Watching a lot of these lately, so we appreciate everybody coming in with your questions. This is kind of your last chance to ask any questions that you might have of Sean, but you can also reach him at I put up everywhere you can reach him, the Facebooks and the website. You can reach him there, or you know, you can email me brian@pmq.com, and I'll make sure he gets the questions and he'll send some answers. But I did have one last thing that I wanted to ask you, really, is that are you planning on keeping any of the changes that you've had to make in your day-to-day operations after we return to normal, quote unquote, absolutely, normal? What things do you kind of want to keep your eye on or keep going that you think the public would appreciate?
I feel like with this, it's another I don't want to say a lesson, but it's something that you pivot there during these times to make changes to survive and just to create that more revenue stream. And so with these changes now, with doing take and bakes, with doing DIY pizza kits, doing curbside stuff like that, that we weren't offering before. And now it's like, well, this is now part of life. And this is something that it might not generate a whole bunch, but it's going to constantly keep on bringing in new business. And so now it's one of those like, all right, well, we're just going to keep this going until there's no interest. I mean, why not? And I think that's going to be just kind of the new norm for now. I mean, like, I always wonder, like, with the Spanish flu that happened in 1918, like, if those two following years, if anything that people did back then continue doing for a few years. And so I think with this, I think it's going to be people still looking for more Togo and people wanting to see those different options. Just another great revenue stream.
You think that there's also that conversation about, you know, customers' buying habits and how they have kind of been changed. You think they're going to shift back to their old ways, or they're like, hey, this is pretty nice. I don't even have to get out of my car. Somebody's going to drop it off to me. You think they're going to grab onto that and keep going with it?
I think some will. I mean, I think that we're creatures of habit, so I think the last couple of months are going to stick for a little bit. But I mean, I think that most of them will revert back to the way they used to be. But there's a reason that Applebee's and Buffalo Wild Wings have these big Togo curbside only things and kind of roped off areas for it. I mean, I think that if you offer it, people absolutely take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't see a point in not offering anymore.
Yeah. Well, and Matthew McClellan of Tour de Pizza down in Florida, and Jay Sierinski is his nutritionist. They told me that it takes those 2 months to create habits.
Oh,
so if you can just hold on to that, I mean, everybody's all habits are kind of changing right now. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. If you can train your customer to go back to the old normal, that's fine. But if you can get more revenue from just placating to them, and if it's not going to hurt you, you know, it might be more cost effective that way too. I've heard a lot of guys saying, shoot, I don't even think I'm going to open up the dine-in anymore. Or No, I kid you not. And it kind of shocked me. I'm like, really? That, I mean, that's kind of what you are. There's going to be a certain percentage, a certain segment that want to go out there and have that social interaction with their staff, with the owner, with the cashier, and with their friends at a table. But I don't know.
With a new place being more of a takeout model after seeing this, because it's a lot less on your payroll. And honestly, it's a lot easier to run.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've been hearing from people. And it shocked me. Makes sense, but it was never anything I thought I'd hear. But again, nothing is the same anymore. So, all right, is there one final message that you, or final tip that you can give anybody kind of going through this or just reemerging from their closures to maybe gain new customers, or just something that you did that you maybe struggled with and overcame? Just kind of a final tip.
Well, we've been living in Stress City for the last two and a half months. I mean, we've all been pulling murder shifts day in, day out, just trying to make sure that lights are on and the doors are staying open. I mean, the most important thing is just to, I mean, you're this far into it. It's just the lights at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to see some stuff and, you know, stay positive and just keep working at it. I mean, we're all doing this for a reason. Otherwise, we would have locked our doors months ago. So just staying positive, taking the hits as they come, and just keep on innovating, keep on doing new things until this passes. It's going to pass at some point, hopefully.
True. Well, I mean, and that's not the only thing. I'm just, you know, that's a final tip. I want a final positive affirmation. Tell me a joke, say something that's going to put a smile on everybody's face, and then we'll let everybody go back to their day jobs. But, you know, what's your final positive affirmation? I'm thinking Stuart Smiley, Smalley, whatever. Guy looking in the mirror.
Final affirmation, I would say number one thing is to drink more bourbon stouts. I've been doing. Works for me. Great for your hair.
Hey, well, there you go. Maybe I need to get on that. I've been drinking all those Coronas, and it does not seem to be going well.
Help, I'm sorry, Modelo. No. Modelo or Bud.
Sean, I do appreciate all your time today, all the great information. It was I was glad we talked to you the other day, because it was a very unique perspective of what you've been going through. And you know, I'm proud that you took it upon yourself to, you know, be socially responsible with your restaurant for your customers and your staff. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, is there a better way than the websites I got on the bottom? Honestly, or is that the best way?
Facebook and either of those sites will directly link you with me. I monitor those sites. Well, I live on my phone, so I mean, like, I will. If you want to ask me a question, ask for some advice, ask anything, shoot me a message on either Dempsey's Brew Pub or Danger Von Dempsey's on Facebook. Shoot a message, and I'll probably answer within 2 or 3 minutes, unless I'm in a car.
All right, great. And also, yeah, be safe, please. And also, if you want to reach out to me, guys, Brian@pmq.com. I can make sure that Sean gets any of these questions if you can't get a hold of them there. So again, I want to thank the audience. Thank you everybody for chiming in, asking your questions, for watching us. You gotta make this all go around. We're doing it for you. And you know, if you have any suggestions of anybody I should speak to on one of these PMQ live updates, please email me at brian@pmq.com. I'm always looking for new subjects to interview with unique perspectives on how everything's hit them. So that was kind of a Dr. Evil thing there. I missed
that. That was the subjects.
Subjects. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time. We're probably not going to do it on Monday on the 25th. That's, you know, Memorial Day, right? It's not Labor Day. I always mix them up. So, but I will be coming back on Tuesday. Should be talking with Michael LaMarca and Lenny Rago again. I know they're repeats, but we have an interesting conversation about how to take some of that, take 15% of that 30% back from those third party delivery guys. So, they've been working together really hard on that to help, you know, you guys save money and, you know, give you some tips and pointers on that. So, again, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, Tuesday the 26th. Sean, thank you again for your time. Everybody, stay safe. Stay sane.
Cheers.